will be purified and strengthened beginning with each one of us. We pray for all men everywhere and ask that we may have such a deep sense of thy fatherhood that we shall recognize the brotherhood of all men. We commend to thee this day, O Lord, thy faithful servant, Martin Luther King, Jr. Grant that he may go from strength to strength in a life of perfect service in thy heavenly kingdom, having won the eternal victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even as Dr. King was an advocate and follower of thy way, the path of peace, of love, of truth, grant that we may be true to that same calling and follow in his train, accomplishing the work he set out to do, helping to create a world where all men live together as brothers through Christ our Lord.
As president of your college, I ask that we hold this memorial service today in order that we might join a nation in expressing our sorrow over the death of a man who more than any other in this country and in this day symbolized the peaceful struggle for justice and equality for all men and women. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a man of conviction and of courage. He had a dream that was cut short by an assassin's bullet. He dreamed that one day this nation would rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Let us start now here on this campus to see that Martin Luther King's dream can come true. Only by working together in peace can we achieve the goal for which he gave his life. This memorial service cannot lessen the sorrow, cannot eliminate the guilt feeling of a nation, cannot solve the problems which Dr. King struggled to bring to light and to overcome. But students, faculty, and staff in this college community can resolve that his death shall not have been in vain. We can and must work together, every race, color, and creed, to make this campus a model of the best of our society, not a mirror of the worst. We can build together a community which respects the rights of all persons, a community which uses not force nor violence, but the democratic processes to achieve the real goals of a democracy, freedom, equality, and justice for everyone. The Springfield Baptist Choir will now honor us with a selection.
We regret to say to you that the choir members haven't showed up as yet, but we're still looking for them. We're going to do for you just here the love of God. Thank you. Then the tongues of men can't ever tell. It goes beyond all the high stars. And reaches to the lowest hell. God's love so sure shall still endure. How majorless and strong it shall forevermore endure. Tell the saint and angel, sing their song. The love of God, so rich and so pure, but how majorless and strong it shall forevermore endure. Tell the saint and angel, sing their song. When a hurried time they shall pass away, an earthly throne and kingdoms fall. When men who hear refuse to pray, but on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure. How majorless and strong, redeeming grace, Lord, to Adam's race. Tell the saint and angel, sing their song. The love of God, so rich and so pure, but how majorless and strong it shall forevermore endure. Tell the saint and angel, sing their song.
The entire academic community is saddened by the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King was a man who stood for equality and life for all people. The rational individuals of our country stood behind Dr. King, and they will remain behind his cause. In memory of Dr. King, let us share a moment of silent prayer. Amen. I would like to now introduce to you Mr. Clay Abayo, a representative of the Black Student Alliance, who will introduce you to our speaker.
A close friend of Martin Luther King, somebody who has worked with him for several years, also a native of Dallas, is now a pastor of Zion Baptist Temple Church in Compton, California. Received his Bachelor of Arts, Doctor of Laws and Literature, and also Doctor of Divinity. He has conducted seminars and lectures throughout the United States, traveled extensively in Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Holy Land. He served as a group leader for the World Baptist Youth Congress in Beirut, Lebanon in 1963. He's a life member of the NAACP, member of the Board of Directors of Los Angeles Council of Churches, a board member of Western Christian Leadership Conference, member of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Advisory Council. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce you, Dr. C. Albert Hansen.
The writer of Pilgrim Progress gives to us these words: "My sword I give to him that shall succeed me, and my pilgrimage, and my courage and skill to him that can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought for battles who now will be my rewarder. When the day that he must go hence was come, many accompanied him to the riverside, and to which he went, he said, 'Death, where is thy sting?' And as he went down deeper, he said, 'Grave, where is thy victory?' So he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side." Mr. President, faculty members, Preston Dean, the president of the BSA, members of the student body, and all herein assembled, it is befitting and within the realm of human understanding that we assemble in the noontide of this day. We assemble not alone, for throughout the known world, countless thousands have been gathering in glorious tribute to a great spirit who has been called from our midst. Our human society was weakened when the son of an Alabama minister gave his life, not on a cross in Jerusalem, but on a motel balcony in Memphis, Tennessee, in the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the contributions and work of this distinguished American and apostle of goodwill that brings us together in this memorial service. As I stand today, I stand in an atmosphere of mixed emotions. For over a period of several years, I was identified with Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and the struggle for first-class citizenship for all people. From the embryonic stage of the bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama, where he sent forth the impelling words, "It is better to walk in dignity than to ride in disgrace," to all of the succeeding efforts in the cause for which he so nobly gave his life. Martin Luther King taught and personified the spirit of love. He taught that we must meet hate with love. Therefore, we should not be too surprised because of the great struggle in the world today. You may be assured that, in a sense, the history of man is the story of the struggle between good and evil. All of the great religions have recognized a tension at the very core of the universe. Hinduism, for instance, calls this tension a conflict between illusion and reality. Zoroastrianism calls this tension a conflict between the god of light and the god of darkness. And traditionally, Judaism and Christianity calls this tension a conflict between God and Satan. Each realizes that in the midst of the upward thrust of goodness, there is a downward pull of evil. There are many thoughts that lie within the crevices of our hearts and disturb our minds today. One might ponder the question in his mind, why should Martin Luther King be taken from us at such a young age, 39 years of age? For you who might be perplexed and disturbed by this thought, we must remember to die in youth does not indicate that one has not served well and lived a fruitful life. We must never forget that it is not how long you live, but what you do while living is a thing that counts. For when the one great score comes to write against your name, he writes not that you won or lost, but how well you played the game. Does it seem a paradox, as I say to you today? A long life is not good, but a good life is long enough. Only 39 years of age. But while he lived, he served as a moderate Moses. He helped to change the course of destiny in the area of human rights. He stood before kings and potentates, but never lost the common touch. He counseled with mayors, governors, and presidents. He was the youngest person to ever receive the Nobel Peace Prize and the 12th American to receive the prize in 1964. He was a man of peace, a man of mercy, justice, a man of equality, a man of brotherhood. Martin Luther King's personal philosophy was not one of division. He was motivated by Jesus' teaching, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor." His approach to solving civil rights problems showed his understanding of the Savior's words, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." We recognize that Martin Luther King was not liked by everyone. But who is liked by everyone when they initiate a revolution for mankind? There are still those among us who feel that prejudice is a more worthy accomplishment than is equality. Perhaps sometime we had an occasion to disagree with Dr. King's specific viewpoints, but never with his motives. How can any patriotic American oppose the objectives of peace, love, brotherhood, equality, justice, and human dignity. Anyone who felt uncomfortable about Dr. King's marches or continues to be uneasy about the ideas being expressed by his nonviolent militants should remember this fact. There would be no need for civil rights movements, either violent or nonviolent, if the constitutional and Christian heritage of this nation was more fact than fancy. Although Martin Luther King was a bearer of creative suffering and heard the winds of oppression and jail cells, although he bore the burden of court injunctions, yet he taught us that in the long struggle between good and evil, good eventually would emerge as victor. Though hard it may seem, yet we must entwine our lives to this idea. For long ago, biblical injunction realized and recognized what William Cullen Bryant had affirmed, that truth pressed to earth will rise again. And what Thomas Carlyle wrote, no lie can live forever. There is something in this universe that justifies Lowell in saying, though the cause of evil propelled hate, 'tis truth alone that is strong. As individuals, may we realize that we are made for that which is high, noble, and good, and that our true home is within the Father's will. Let us choose the road that leads to an abundant life. For to every man there openeth a way, and ways, and a way. And the high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between on the mystic flats, the rest drifts to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low. And every man decideth the way his soul shall go. Martin Luther King decided the way his soul would go, recognizing that suffering is redemptive. He stated in 1962, speaking in a little frame church in Albany, Georgia, he said, "It may get me crucified, I may even die, but I want it said, even if I die in the struggle, that he died to make men free." The night before he gave his life in Memphis, he spoke in a Methodist church and said to that vast congregation, "It matters not what happened to me. I have been to the mountaintop. I have viewed the promised land. Children, I may not enter with you, but everything is all right because I have seen the land." When one examines the life of Martin Luther King, they can assuredly say that he gave to the people a safe standard of righteousness. We may view the pages of secular history and discover that many have tried and failed to give a safe standard of righteousness. For Alexander won his first battle at 18, became king of Macedonia at 20, conquered the known world, but he was not able to conquer himself, for at the age of 33, he set fire to a city and died a drunken debauch on the scene of his greatest victory. Caesar built his war towers on the backs of elephants, made the animal drunk with wine, and trampled his opposing foes in their fury. He conquered 800 cities, but his wild career ended when he was stabbed by Brutus, his best friend. But what these characters could not do, Martin Luther King has instilled within us the spirit to speak to America. Therefore, I say to America, the hour is already late. The evening shades are fast approaching, and night is falling fast. It is late, very late, but I hope it is not too late to redeem the times and save the nation from defeat and death. America, If you will dress us in spotless garments of first-class citizenship, if you will give us the freedom of speech, we will carry your story. If you will give us full equipment, we will help to defend your cause at the International Bar of Public Opinion, and will give our lives and full measure of devotion to help you proclaim the truth for which the nation stands. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the covetous peaks of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from stone mountains of Georgia. Let freedom ring from the Lookout Mountains of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and mole of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, and from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Those of you that must like to start with another number from the choir now.
Go down front. No, this is very sensitive. Thank you.
President Kennedy, faculty members of Cal Poly, distinguished sympathizers, student body. For the past 3 days or more, you may have heard numerous speeches made in memorial of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Many of these speeches have stemmed from emotions, anger, anguish, and also personal experiences. But today, as president of the African Student Association on Cal Poly campus, I am about to speak to you primarily from an awareness. It is indeed an awareness to the African student that the effort of Dr. Martin Luther King was one of nonviolence. In his struggle for nonviolence to obtain freedom, justice, and equality, it was not only meant for his people or for people of his own race. It was one in which he struggled for the dignity of the entire human race. We, the Africans, recognize Dr. King as a fearless leader endowed by the divine arbiter with the zeal and courage, in particular about his personal safety, so ardently dedicated to a universal cause, a cause which even prompted him to go to Nigeria in order to settle the civil disorder that is still going on. It is because of these incidences, such as those that he participated in wholeheartedly in the United States, in other parts of the world, that we have become aware of his work. It was during a cause so well dedicated that he fell victim to the clandestine machination of an assassin. It is true, however, that to every end there is a beginning. But I say to you, to his end, there is a perpetuation. For many a people, nonviolence seemed to be dead with Dr. King. But for us, it is not. It is a change, it is a new leaf. And we ardently anticipate perpetuating this cause. People may be concerned as to why African students are so overtly astounded by the death of Dr. Martin Luther King. I say to you, it is a sense of awareness and a sense of belonging. If you will permit me, I would ask a question. Suppose any one African student were to be walking on the streets of San Luis Obispo, and there happened to be a riot. I would like to ask whether the policeman will wait and ask whether you are a foreigner or not before he takes action. Think this over. Don't misconstrue me. We have not come these many miles to incite riots or to instigate a fracas. However, we do realize that we are in a society of stratification, a society of changes. And during our short period here, I am very well certain that you all anticipate our fitting ourselves into this strata of your society. If this we must do, then we must have a position. If this we must do, then we must participate in the change. But by no means do we advocate violence. We have a contribution to make, a contribution not only to Cal Poly campus, for it is a campus within a society. It is a contribution we have to make to the community at large. And we don't intend to do this by violence. We don't intend to do this by violence. Because you all know that violence cannot counteract violence, for this will bring a greater disaster. However, our association intends to work together with the Black Student Alliance in the attempt to share our history and our culture with them. If a change they must pursue, they must have a foundation, they must have a basis upon which to act. They must have an identity. And if we say we possess a culture in Africa, and if we come to your campus and only lend the book that you are imparting so diligently to us, and turn our backs to your community and leave, we are not worthy of your benefit. But if we come and participate wholeheartedly and contribute not only because of the educational status that we can attain, then we have lived justly within our consciences. I appeal not to your fears, neither do I appeal to your emotions, but today I am appealing to your sense of reasoning, to your consciences. You may say we are foreign students and these things don't affect us, but remember, we are within the walls of your society and we have a part to play, not only to grasp from you, but we also have a little to offer. Therefore, I say to you, young Americans, black as well as white, re-examine yourselves. Re-examine yourselves and rededicate yourself to a cause for which this noble man now lay in a stupor, a victim of an assassin's bullet. He knew not violence, but he became victim of it. Re-examine yourselves and rededicate yourselves anew to a cause of human dignity, human freedom, human justice, and human equality. For greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his fellow man. And you and I today cannot say that this is not what has befallen Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you.
President Kennedy, distinguished guests, faculty, students, both black and white, I'd like to start off by saying that I hope that what I'm about to say doesn't offend anyone, but I feel the great necessity to present what I have written down. Today, we are gathered here to give commemoration to a great, great black man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was shot down by an assassin's bullet. I'd like to ask you a question. Who was it that really killed Dr. King? Was it the assassin's bullet as such that really killed him?
No.
It was white America. White America killed Dr. King. It was this corrupt, sick, racist country that killed him. You killed him by not being aware or concerned with the human rights situation, by perpetuating racism, and by not doing what you could to better humanity. I feel if you sit there and not do a thing for the human rights struggle, then you're just as much to blame as the evil forces who are oppressing us. And then, when a tragedy of this nature happens, all you can say is, I'm sorry. But how sorry are you? You showed black people how sorry you were the first morning after his death. Cal Poly State College, the county courthouse, city hall, many other public places didn't even have their flag flown at half mast. Now, whatever the reason for not having this flag flown at half mast, it is not justifiable. This shows that not only are you really, as far as action goes, not concerned, but you're disrespectful. Lyndon Johnson and other political officials get on TV. They say how sorry they are. And they eulogize Dr. King beautifully. But they couldn't be too sorry. I say this because these people are the most powerful politicians in the world. And you think that they'd honor Dr. King before this tragedy occurred by passing effective civil rights laws. Oh, sure, they pass bills, but they are nullified, they are invalid because of deliberately weak enforcement of these laws. So the assassin, the government, as well as you, are to blame for his murder. Now, here's a man that was for America, not just for black people, but for whites as well. He was trying to save America, trying to bring this country out of the sick state that it is in. And he was even doing things the way white people wanted him to. I say that Dr. King was really, really great. One of the greatest persons I've ever read about or anything. He's just great. I say he's great because you have to be great to be nonviolent and take the motive, the stands that he had in a country as violent as this. But now he's gone. And I'm telling white America, you better wake up, because black people are not gonna let another one of our leaders get snuffed out. You had better step back and take a long look at yourselves. Start facing the reality of the problem. The hardest thing to do is to face the truth. Face it, this is a new day, and that black people aren't gonna allow themselves to be oppressed any longer. Face it, America's future is in grave danger. You've got to stop putting your values in the almighty dollar, but put them in almighty God, almighty love, almighty peace. In other words, you have to get some human values. Now, a lot of white people have asked, or have seen it as, what can I do? And it boils down to this. White people can help best by organizing themselves and go into their community and try to break down the prejudice that exists there. The problem stems from the community. This is where your work is. Not really with us, because we have a problem. Our objective is to organize within ourselves and get ourselves together. Your job is to go into your community where the real problem lies. I think the biggest problem that we have as a people is communications. the lines of communication have been broken down, or better still, they've never been established. The understanding that whites have towards black is distorted. For example, why do you feel funny or weird when a black person walks past you? Or why do you think that when a black student walks past a white person, girls in particular, 95% of them give us a false grin? This is a cover-up for a lack of communications or understanding. The Black Student Alliance feels that the only way the gaps of this understanding can be remedied is to add to this educational program a black curriculum. We have thus far in the American educational system learned nothing but white nationalism. You learn about Columbus, who was supposed to have discovered America. You learned about Abe Lincoln, who was supposed to be the great emancipator. But we don't learn anything about black people. I wonder why. Is it because black people would find out too much about themselves? Are you afraid that we would find out that the greatest musician, one of the greatest musicians that ever lived, Ludwig van Beethoven, was a black man? And a Moses? Or Paul? Or even Jesus Christ himself was black? It is necessary that we establish better communications to save this country. As it stands now, the knowledge of the American people is unbalanced. It seems only logical that in order for one to become a well-balanced or knowledgeable person, he'd have to unlimit his views or his education. This curriculum would consist of black people's cultures in general. There's different departments, such as the literature department. It would include the black novel, the poems, the essays, art. Art would consist of paintings, sculptures, music. The language department would consist of learning Swahili, Xhosa, other African dialects. I would say in philosophy, we can form better opinions by learning the philosophy of some of the great black men that have lived in the past. This is just an example of what the curriculum would consist of. So I say again, white America, wake up, because black people are moving on up, and nothing's gonna stop us, because we will have freedom. Freedom by any means necessary. I hope I haven't offended anyone, but it's gone too far, don't you think? Just a little too far? Just a little too far. I have to say this because this is what comes from me. This is what you have shaped me to. I've grown in the ghetto. This is why Rap Brown is Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael is Stokely Carmichael and Malcolm X was Malcolm X. I have to say this because this country is in grave danger. Really grave danger. And reality should be faced that unless you, the people, and which are supposed to be running this country, run it correctly, then there's not going to be no country. So you better get together immediately, as soon as possible, like today. Today. I'd just like to clear up a few points. That our organization, the Black Students Alliance, is not to go around in the streets shooting up and killing people. It's to get ourselves together to help us. Because we're the only ones that can help ourselves. Just like you, the people collectively are the only ones that can help ourselves as Americans. Now, I'd just like to clear that up, that we are not violent as such. But I'd also like to say that we are violent if anybody gets violent with us. Just like you would be violent if someone got violent with you. Now, all respects due to Dr. King. I am very sorry that it took his life to prove a point. I'm upset, hurt, that we had to lose a great leader just to prove the point. Now, like I said before, our leaders, the rest of our leaders, we're going to see to it that they don't get killed. And there's not too much more I have to say. I'd like to ask for your support that we work this thing out. But remember, you got to get yourselves together before anything happens. That's all I had to say, but right now the choir is gonna sing a number.
To all of you that it concerned, we regret to say the organist, he had to go to work, and we would ask you to overlook us just here. But to Mr. Dixon, we want to say to you, thanks for the invitation coming out. We do hope that there has been something said that someone will start to take a look and just look around us and see that, was it worth having to lose this man that he just quit talking about in order that we can live together in these United States of America. Thank you.
Shall we rise for the benediction? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us, the grace which is God's gift to men, that shatters men's complacent lives with the judgment of Jesus, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and yet destroys false life only in order to build life with God. Shatters false dreams only in order to fashion real ones, and exposes sin only in order to forgive it. The love of God the Father be with us, the love that created us all, redeemed us all, and must sometimes judge us all when we fail to see that God cannot love us while we hate our brothers. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us, the oneness which does not come from men, for men always fear what is different and hate what they do not understand, but the oneness that is a gift from God, the oneness that can be patient with each other's sins because we see our own, the oneness that respects and loves others even though they hate us because God loved us when we hated him, the oneness that is not earned but is given as we grow up together to full maturity as sons of God through Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the oneness of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.